The House Committee on Government Reform this week postponed indefinitely a hearing to investigate the chief judge of the U.S. District Court here in Washington, Judge Norma Holloway Johnson. It has been charged that Johnson steered the assignment of cases involving some Clinton administration allies to judges appointed by the president. This week's hearing was scheduled by Republican Dan Burton, the Government Reform Committee's chairman. The questions raised about Johnson's conduct are only the latest in a series of assaults on the credibility of the federal judiciary, assaults often made without much evidence to back them up. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The Johnson episode may or may not come to anything when all is said and done, and it may have reached the point of relatively high public visibility because of Judge Johnson's notoriously prickly personality. More on that later. But her case is part of an emerging pattern that has judges of all political stripes a little worried. As legal ethics professor Stephen Gillers puts it,
suspicion about the institutions of government have definitely spread to the judiciary. And so we get the increase in motions to disqualify, which are often animated not by a strong factual basis, but simply by suspicion.
Judges, both conservative and liberal, appointed by Democrats and Republicans, have had their integrity questioned publicly and formally, based on little more than conjecture. Item. In 1994, a formal ethics complaint was filed against Judge David Sentell, the chief judge of the panel that selects independent counsels. Shortly before Sentell's panel decided to replace the highly respected Robert Fisk as Whitewater special prosecutor and to name Kenneth Starr instead, the judge, a staunch conservative, was seen having lunch with two of Fisk's critics, Senators Jesse Helms and Locke Faircloth. The three denied discussing the subject of Whitewater, but because a formal complaint had been filed, Chief Judge Harry Edwards, a Democratic appointee, undertook an investigation and completely exonerated Judge Sentell. Item. Larry Klayman, a lawyer who's pursued the Clinton administration relentlessly with a variety of civil lawsuits, has sought on a number of occasions to have federal judges recuse themselves. Perhaps the most extreme case came 3 years ago in New York when Klayman represented a private party. The case was before Judge Dennis Chin, and Klayman, noting that Chin is of Asian descent as well as a Clinton appointee, moved to have him recused. Klayman asserted that Judge Chin would not be impartial about Klayman's case because of Klayman's role in a separate case involving allegations of improper campaign contributions from Asians to the Democratic Party. Judge Chin refused to recuse himself and imposed sanctions on Klayman. They were upheld by the Federal Appeals Court in New York in an opinion written by Reagan appointee Ralph Winter. Said Winter, here the evidence of bias amounted to zero plus zero, and that equaled zero. Judges, he said, generally have political backgrounds to one degree or another, but must be assumed absent more to be impartial, especially since their life tenure eliminates any reliance on political patrons. The charge here, he said, was not only insulting, it smacked of intimidation. Item. The charges against Judge Norma Holloway Johnson. Appointed to the bench originally by President Nixon 30 years ago, she was promoted to the Federal District Court by President Carter. As chief judge, she's ruled against President Clinton in a half dozen major cases. But the way she assigned some cases to other judges in her court set off alarm bells in some quarters. Specifically, her assignment to a Clinton appointee of a case involving Clinton friend and former Justice Department official Webster Hubbell, and her assignment of several cases brought by the Justice Department involving allegations of campaign finance violations. Each of these cases was assigned not by random draw, but under a court rule in existence for almost 30 years that allows the special assignment of cases that may be protracted or complex. The purpose is to speed the efficiency of the courts. Although the rule was abandoned relatively recently, it was in effect at the time Judge Johnson assigned these cases. Still, some argued, the cases she assigned specially did not seem at first blush to be so very complex or protracted, so why assign them out of the normal draw? Congressman Howard Coble, the chairman of the House subcommittee that oversees judicial administration, sent Johnson a letter posing that question.
But I figure, well, you know, this surely will elicit a response, and we'll probably bury the issue and forget about it.
But Judge Johnson did not respond. Congressman Coble sent a second letter. Again, no response. Now he began to be really suspicious.
If I had been the judge and had received two requests from the chairman of the subcommittee that had jurisdiction, I believe I would have probably kicked the door down to get a response in the mail to this guy.
People who've worked with Judge Johnson say she can be as curt and unresponsive to her colleagues as she was to Congressman Coble. But the congressman was not about to give up. Now he wrote to the chief judge of the appeals court demanding an investigation, and he got it. An outside lawyer has now been appointed to look into the matter, and Judge Johnson has had to retain a lawyer herself. Michael Madigan, a Republican and longtime friend of Johnson's, served as chief counsel for the Senate committee that investigated the Clinton campaign contribution scandal. He says that when the dust settles, it will be clear that his client, Judge Johnson, did nothing wrong and nothing out of the ordinary. He notes that Judge John Sirica, a Republican appointee, assigned himself to preside over the Watergate cases, and nobody suggested Sirica was in the tank. Similarly, that in the 1980s, the then-chief judge specially assigned the Iran-Contra cases, Michael Madigan.
People seem to me to be ready to jump to conclusions that people are corrupt and do things for corrupt motives almost at the drop of a hat.
Certainly, at least in some congressional quarters, suspicion remains high. While Congressman Coble is willing to let the judiciary investigate itself, Congressman Dan Burton has been more aggressive. Burton, who's among President Clinton's most vociferous critics, scheduled a hearing to investigate the Johnson assignments. There is some question as to whether he ever really expected to hold the hearing, since he never sent out a formal notice to colleagues. But he did notify news organizations, and when the judge refused to come and testify, Burton postponed the hearing indefinitely with a written blast at the judge. He declined to be interviewed for this broadcast. Ethics professor Giller says he believes Judge Johnson did nothing unethical, but he says she might have been wiser, given our bitter political times, to have simply left the assignments to the draw. And he says Congress is justified in inquiring about the subject.
Congress has every right to look into the administration of the federal courts. So that would include assignment systems within federal court.
But Gillis adds, in his view, Johnson was correct not to come up to Capitol Hill to testify when there's no hard evidence of wrongdoing on her part and when the judicial branch is conducting its own investigation. All of this leaves a very bad taste in the mouths of many federal judges, both Republican and Democratic appointees. They feel a cloud over their integrity. Some believe much of this is just a sign of the cynical times. Others believe some of their colleagues have been too cavalier about appearances. A few believe their colleagues are biased, though not corrupt, and all worry about the unintended consequences. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.